This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend show is Jim Bray, professor of biology at Blackburn College in Carlinville. Welcome to the show, Professor Bray.
Thank you.
We are going to talk today about an interesting subject, I think at least. I think the listeners will find it rather interesting as well, and it's bees at Blackburn College and sort of how a particular hive of bees, I guess, became an educational opportunity. And first off, let's set the table for the beehive. It generated a problem in recent times, and something had to be done with it?
Yes, sir. Actually, it wasn't a hive per se. It was a native or a wild bee tree, we would say. And the essence, what happened was we had a colony of bees decide to move into one of our trees very close to the library. And it came to our attention that that could be a potential insurance issue because, of course, some folks are allergic to bees and things of that nature. And so we were really kind of given the option of move the bee tree or move the bee tree. And so we really had two options with that. It was eradicate the hive or figure out some way that we could potentially move the hive. And actually, it was my colleague, Dr. Jonathan McCanson, and I talked about this, and like that would be a real waste. And we contacted some people with the Illinois Native Plant Society, and they gave us a fellow's name. And kind of from there, the rest was history.
The bees that are were in the tree, what type of bee are they? I mean, people know bees as bumblebees and honeybees, but what type of bee was this?
Right. To call them a native bee would be somewhat incorrect. They were actually a wild hive or a wild swarm of what we would call a European honeybee, technically. And so they were actual honeybees, like we think of producing the honey we see on the shelf.
These bees had to go somewhere, and so once you contacted this organization or this person, what happened?
Well, once we contacted the fellow's name is Arvin Pierce, and I talked to him, so I know he wouldn't mind mentioning his name as well. And he is actually pretty well known in this area as the person that if you have a swarm of bees, to call him. And he has been kind of on a one-man crusade for a number of years to save a lot of these bees. As a lot of folks are aware, we have some real issues with pollinators in general, but honeybees specifically because of a number of diseases and some things, honestly, we don't understand at this point. So we called Arvin, and he was more than willing to come out, look at this. He set up a trapping system, and we were able to capture the queen in the hive, which is kind of the key. If you can capture the queen, you can get the majority, if not all, of the other bees to come into the trap. And so we were able to extract the bees from the hive, from the bee tree, without actually harming them.
Now, these bees, were they relocated somewhere to Blackburn property, or where did they go after they were trapped?
Yes, sir. Once they were trapped, we set up. That was the beginning of what has now turned into a number of hives of bees that we own on two different properties. One is a Blackburn property. It's actually the kind of the northeast edge of campus. We have it well marked. It's out of the traffic, kind of the general foot traffic of folks. Our insurance folks were fine with where we have it. And so we basically set up that hive. We rescued another two hives from another place in town, and since then have purchased additional hives to kind of build our stock, and now I guess to some degree we are beekeepers, or at least training to be beekeepers. So they were actually relocated to a safe part of campus for both the bees and the people.
When actually did this come to everyone's attention about the bees and that relocation was necessary? What year was that?
That was, it's been, as far as coming to attention of the bee tree, it's been a number of years. It was with an insurance evaluation about 2 years ago that it was pointed out that this could be problematic. And so then we started the process of trying to relocate, find someone to help us relocate the bees.
How did this sort of get incorporated into a learning process as far as, I guess probably the biology department or something like that.
Yes, sir. One of the things that kind of makes Blackburn unique is a lot of people hear that, well, we're a work college, and you know, some people think, well, that's work study or what have you, but no, we're actually a work college, one of eight in the country, where all students that are on campus participate in a program where they work at least 10 hours a week, 10 hours towards tuition, and they can work extra. And we have a lot of folks that work within our department, so within biology. And so Dr. McCanson and I kind of got together, and we looked at this possibility of moving the bee colony. And then, like a lot of things, well, we can move it, now what? And you may be familiar with another program that's been ongoing for a number of years called the Mahan Forestry Program that was funded by the late Marvin Mahan. And basically, we kind of took that model of we can bring students in, and instead of just making this something we just have to do and get out of our way, we make it a work and a learning experience. And so just like those guys were learning how to manage timber and do things of that nature and invasive species, we started bringing students in involved with now how do we manage and care for bees.
And with these bees, as you said, it's a work-study college, and obviously they're working with the bees. Do you have any formal education classes, or is this just a learning experience from through work?
At this point, we don't have formal, what we, I guess, would call apiary classes. What we are doing is we're developing internships that can count towards hours of graduation, so students can actually work with Jonathan, myself, or even more specifically with Arvin as he's maintaining and developing the hives. And so they work directly with us, so to speak, and learn how you actually maintain the hives, how you check them, how you harvest the honey. We built or at least assembled a number of the hives. One of the starting experiments with this, as we expanded from, you know, one hive that we saved, as we started moving forward, an experiment is to look at different types of hives and see, is one hive better than another in this area and things of that nature as far as supporting and growing bee colonies. And, as of course, as you might guess, every hive manufacturer will tell you theirs is the best. And so we just are kind of putting that to the test, so to speak, with four different types of hives.
Did you find maybe one of those four different types was the best, or were they fairly equal?
Preliminary, we can say they're not equal, but as far as saying which one would be the best, jury's still out on that. We're kind of honing in. There's one that seems to be working better than the other, but honestly, with only, you know, a year or two's worth of data, that's not enough to make that call at this point. But it does appear one particular hive design has not done well for us.
And let me go a little bit farther, maybe to understand better. We started with this original hive of bees, and then another was secured. How many bees are we talking, and are you getting honey now, or what goes on as far as what these bees are actually doing now?
Sure. We started with one hive, and you may hear the old adage with insects, you know, if you get a couple of them, if it's male and female, you better look out, you're going to have a lot of them. And we started with one hive, and a typical hive of bees will have somewhere between maybe 25 to upwards of 50,000 individuals. So it can be a lot of individual bees in a given hive. And so as we collected the initial rescue hive, then we rescued what basically was two hives from another individual in the area. We established those. We then went on to purchase an additional eight hives, and that was for the actual study of the different types of hives. And so we have all total at least 11 hives at this point. Of course, as a hive is established, they do grow. Oftentimes they swarm. We can split hives, and that's the things we're looking at doing in the future. So we're looking to grow this program well beyond the existing hives. As far as honey production, when we started working with Arvin, we were told, you know, a couple of things. One, don't expect any honey in the first year because you're trying to establish the colonies, get them healthy, things of that nature. And then the second thing was, you should always consider honey as kind of the icing on the cake and not the cake. Because some years you have high production, some years low, some years they barely produce enough to maintain the colony through the winter. And so that's kind of how we move forward. Well, in our first year, I believe among all the hives at last count, we were about 120 pounds worth of honey collected in the first year. So we did actually have a pretty substantial, for given the first year, a pretty substantial amount of honey that we recovered that was excess in the hives. And we actually marketed that now through our bookstore, and before the beginning of this year, we sold everything we had.
And so you look forward to maybe having more that maybe you can market through your bookstore in the future?
Absolutely. And one of the neatest things about the honey that we're producing is we know exactly where it comes from and exactly how it was produced as far as removing it from the hives, cleaning it, bottling it, and so forth. And I think what a lot of consumers don't realize is when you go buy honey off the shelf in a store, if you're not buying it local, there's a pretty good chance it's going to be mixtures of honey from various countries, including China, India, Korea, on and on it goes. Most of the honey in the big stores that's not local is a blend of honeys from all over the world.
And I guess that has quite a implication as to maybe how pure it is or something like that?
Absolutely. It's very well known that what we'll just call it collectively Asian honey, so honey from that part of the world, is typically adulterated with at least rice sugar, if not other things. And so you really, they do their best as honey's imported into the U.S. to sort that out, but even their best, you still don't know what you're getting sometimes.
Let me just, as we come to the end of the program, ask you about this project as you go. Do you have where you feel you could get too big, or are you capable of just keeping going if the bees do well and things like that?
Our hope is that, like a lot of the programs, we were able to grow the forestry project to a pretty reasonable project that supports a number of students or has supported a number of students in the past. We're hoping that this internship and the development of Blackburn honey can become basically a staple product for the college. So it's a learning experience and in effect can kind of pay for itself as it goes with the product that we produce.
Professor Jim Bray, thank you for joining us on the Forum program this weekend.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.